Welcome to Periodical Radio, the program about magazines and journals. I'm your host, Steve Black, librarian at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York, and author of the book Serials in Libraries, Issues and Practices. This installment of Periodical Radio is about the popular magazine Wooden Boat, the magazine for wooden boat owners, builders, and designers. The story of this magazine's beginning is worth quoting from their webpage. John Wilson founded Wooden Boat in September 1974. John assembled the magazine from his non-log cabin in North Brooksville, Maine. All was accomplished without electricity or plumbing, and with his telephone nailed to a tree half a mile down the road. Taking issue number one to the Newport Sailboat Show, he sold 400 individual copies and signed up 200 subscribers. Targeted to boat builders, designers, and wooden boat owners, Wooden Boat is published 6 times a year and now has a circulation of approximately 100,000. To learn more about Wooden Boat, my guest is publisher Carl Kramer. Carl, welcome to Periodical Radio. In my introduction, I quoted the story from your website about how John Wilson started Wooden Boat. Could you flesh out the story a little bit for us and describe how the magazine launched what's now an extensive enterprise of publications, shows, and schools?
Sure, Steve. Thanks for having me on today. John was a wooden boat builder who felt there was a need for a resource to communicate the experience of skilled boat builders before they passed along, but to broaden that communication and experience. So he started the magazine in a typical kitchen table experience. I've seen the photograph, so I know it's the case. He had a phone on a tree at the end of his driveway, which I think was about a quarter mile long. And lo and behold, right from the beginning, it was a huge success and continues to be today.
Carl, how did you get involved?
Well, I actually subscribed from the very beginning. Every year I'd apply for a job as an editor in more and more desperate terms. And I think hopefully John never saved all my resumes because I think I took some liberties. But after only 15 years, I got hired and been here now for 20.
So you started as an editor, is that correct?
No, I actually started in the ad department. Prior to being here, I'd worked in magazine publishing in other parts of Maine. And it was just a great opportunity. I had friends who worked here. I lived about an hour and a half away. And wooden boats in particular have always been my passion since I was a kid. So now I'm very fortunate to have vocation and avocation working together.
Wonderful. What do you enjoy most about being the publisher of Wooden Boat?
I think the people I work with are readers, our advertisers, and the boats themselves. Every wooden boat has a story, and to have the wonderful ability to hear those stories, to see these incredible boats wherever they are, it's so invigorating.
What's the special allure of building a boat of wood as opposed to fiberglass or steel or whatever?
Well, I think there are several. Right off the top of my head, it's pretty easy to work with wood. I wouldn't even know how to build a boat in fiberglass, and aluminum's no easier. So wood's a nice material to work with. It takes shapes very well, and perhaps most importantly, there's so many designs available, both historical and modern, that you can select from them. You don't have to start from scratch in that regard.
Could you describe for us the division of labor between a publisher and an editor? I suspect most of my listeners wouldn't have a clear idea of who would do what.
Oh, editors have the greatest jobs in the world. They don't do anything. I'm only kidding. Publisher is it's a different concept depending on where you are. If you work for a Madison Avenue publishing house. The publisher is really a high-powered ad salesperson. I'm lucky at Wooden Boat because what I do is I'm in charge of the different departments that go into producing the magazines, whether that would be editorial, circulation, which takes care of our subscribers and our newsstand buyers, the art department that's responsible for the design and production of the magazine, or the advertising department.
I see. One of the things that struck me about Wooden Boat is that advertising is essential for all magazines to survive, but for Wooden Boat, the advertisements are really an essential component of the information that your readers get from the magazine. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. In every survey we've done, the vast, vast majority, I want to say 97% of our readers, find that the advertising is critical for them to find products or to learn about new processes or modern technologies such as, you know, how to sheathe or a new paint that might be out on the market. So yeah, it's deemed critical for all of them. So that's a wonderful combination. In too many other magazines, either the advertising is perceived as a hindrance to the reading experience or just as a way of ratcheting up profits.
Do you have strict rules about what sort of advertisements you'll accept, or does it just naturally work out that the ads fit your audience?
Typically, the ads fit the audience. We've had to interject or deny a few over the years, but it's pretty easy for our market. Everybody is trying to sell their products or their services, and they know if it works or if it doesn't work. So we've had a lot of advertisers who've been with us for a very long time, and that's just a great relationship.
Within the Wooden Boat enterprise, how do you balance and decide the roles between what purpose the magazine serves and what purpose your website serves? How do they relate to one another?
I think we're probably like many, although we're a little behind. We've had the website for very early on in the internet. In fact, I used to have an electronic bulletin board in my spare desk in my office, and it would make a pinging noise anytime anybody logged on, and that was great. But we're going to be doing some things to the website that would be more tangible as electronic supplements, really, or enhancements to the magazine itself. And if you go to the website, you can see, in addition to some digital magazines and search items for past issues and articles, there's also a very active community of people on the Wooden Boat Forum, which is a great resource for somebody who, let's say I was reading one today. A woman thought there were termites in a boat she was working on. And it was just a very spirited exchange of from readers or members around the world offering their advice. And to me, that's such a great tool. Now, they don't need us at the magazine identifying the bugs for them, but you know, many other people, particularly in southern climes, have had experiences similar to what this person did.
Do you have a sense of whether the website boosts circulation, has a neutral effect, or hurt the circulation? Do people go to the website instead of subscribing?
No, I don't think they do, because currently all our issues aren't there. I think it definitely enhances it. From tracking, we're able to view some, not huge numbers, but I'd say a reasonable level of new readers that come in from the website.
I'd like to ask a little bit about your subscriber profile. First of all, what's the mix between subscriptions and newsstand sales for Wooden Boat?
We're about 52,000 subscribers and about 45,000 newsstand buyers.
That's a very significant proportion for newsstand.
Oh, it is, yeah. And I wish I could understand it a little better. I think some people just like the convenience of shopping at their local newsstand, but in the boating magazine field, were far and away the market leader in terms of copies sold per month or per issue.
Do you have many subscribers outside of the United States?
Yeah. I think about 20% of our subscribers are out of the U.S. We have strong, strong support from Canada, from Europe, particularly Western Europe, and I don't think to much surprise in Australia and New Zealand as well.
What portion of your readers are men? Do you know?
97%. Yeah.
97%?
Yep.
I noticed, though, that quite a few members of your staff are women. Did you intentionally seek out female staff members? Or did it just work out?
No. A bunch of our staff's interesting. We're in a small town on the coast of Maine, a long way from anywhere, with a population of about 800 in this town of Brooklyn. And so many of our staff come from the local communities, and that's great. And not necessarily women. We have men here who are locals as well.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a stereotype about men in particular being obsessive about boats and obsessive about woodworking. Is your magazine about love and obsession?
Oh, sure. Isn't everything that's good in life?
Sure.
We do various endeavors. We have an ongoing grassroots project called Family Boat Building, where we help people new to boating to build a real boat, and they take it home at the conclusion of 2.5 days. And what I love, having watched this over the years, is so many of the families, the girls, the daughters, the granddaughters, are into it every bit as much as the boys, and sometimes they have a better ability to focus on what they're doing. They're not so easily distracted. So I see that as, you know, maybe we'll get our gender demographics more in line with parity, and who knows, I hope my lifetime.
So you do see that as something of a trend of more women becoming interested?
Yeah, I think so. My theory is that anybody who builds a boat is going to be a boater for life, and that's why this grassroots family boat building, to me, offers us a lot of hope for the future.
A person can't go down to their Home Depot and buy lumber appropriate for building a boat. Are the environmental and economic issues surrounding appropriate lumber something that's of issue, an issue that's of importance to your readers and
boat
builders?
Oh, very definitely. Yeah, very definitely, Steve.
Tell us a little bit about that issue.
Well, on the one hand, you've got customers, say, more well-to-do customers who are having boats built, and they want them built with exotic wood. And I know many boat builders are trying to urge those customers to instead get environmentally conscious, and let's educate them on more sustainable products. Now, how successful that will be is hard to determine. If a customer really wants his 60-foot powerboat to be mahogany, he'll certainly find a builder. But we just have to be cognizant of it and communicate it to the community that sustainability is a big issue.
Are there lumbers available from the forests in the eastern United States that are
appropriate? Yeah, they are. There's some good wood, and there's some good forestry management practices that are gonna actually increase our output. So that's encouraging.
What kind of woods are those, and where do they grow?
You can have maple or ash, and they grow, I guess, mostly in the Northeast and the Northwest. Some of the lumbers we used to love, like Sitka spruce, is so hard to find now. So we're all going to have to adjust to the changing species, which will be good. I mean, it's a challenge, but it'll be good.
What are some other major concerns of your readers? General, I know that the magazine is largely about the techniques of building boats and stories about particular designs.
Yeah, well, there's some issues going on in Southern California, for example. There seems to be an increased local pressure on marinas not having wooden boats in because they're perceived as being liveaboards, and that's not what the marinas want to have. And water access issues, which are by no means unique to the world of wooden boat, but for all boats. And those are probably, domestically, those are the two biggest issues.
Carl, we've seen a lot of mergers and consolidations in the mass media, but wooden boat remains independent. Have you ever been tempted to join forces with some other press, some larger organization?
Not a bit, no. When John started this 35 years ago, and ever since, and increasingly so, we've had no interest in being acquired by somebody larger. I think a great deal of what I think makes a magazine so great is the fact that we're allowed to, we're independent, and that gives us freedom to develop ideas and pursue them and hopefully have some of them succeed.
Do you have any favorite stories from the last several issues?
No, I think everyone's favorite. I don't mean to be dodging your question, Steve. It's always such a thrill when a new issue comes out.
So you foresee it remaining as a print magazine, that the website isn't going to replace...
That's correct, yeah.
...the print.
Yeah, not a bit. No, I think... I know there's tons of blogs, tons of forecasts of the imminent demise of print, but to me, something like Wooden Boat is a matter of perfection when it's ink on good paper and the website is used to enhance or expand upon that service.
How does your location... First of all, I'd like you to describe for our listeners your location. And then my question is, how does that location influence the magazine?
Well, we're in a town called Brooklyn, and a local boat builder put up a sign several years ago, welcomes people to town. Welcome to Brooklyn, Maine, boat building capital of the world. That's a little tongue-in-cheek, but on a per capita basis, we've got a lot of boat builders in a small community of 800 people, including some of the finest wooden boat builders in the world. So that proximity to such a pool of talent is just infectious. It's so great to be able to exchange experiences, to be part of a community that's... Again, we're on the coast of Maine, so there are a lot of lobster fishing families and boat builders, and that's really wonderful.
So do they teach in your school?
They do, yeah. Some of them do, and on a continuing basis.
So you sponsor a whole series of courses, is that correct?
Yeah, we have... I think we have about 800 students who go through here in the summer. And those are mostly one-week courses where people come to learn how to build a wooden boat, design a wooden boat, repair a wooden boat, learn how to sail, learn how to navigate. There's some blacksmithing classes, you name it. If it has anything to do with wooden boats in the water, we'll put that into our course schedule.
What's your take on the balance of using power tools and hand tools for that sort of work?
They're appropriate jobs for each, and that's how we teach the classes.
How about laminates and other types of wood other than solid woods?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's modern wooden boat building is epoxy and wood, which gives such a strong, stiff, and light structure that can't be surpassed by any other material.
Carl, what else would you like listeners to know about Wooden Boat, either the magazine or the process of building boats?
I'd love your listeners to just take a look at us. Go to woodenboat.com, see if there's anything there of interest. Believe me, anybody can build a boat, and the best way to try, I mean, the best way to do that is just to try. Find a boat you want to build, either from our website or some other website, and do it.
And the variety is, I know you mentioned, almost endless. I mean, we could go from a kayak or a dory all the way up to a schooner, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do the tall ships come through Brooklyn?
No, they don't. We're off the circuit for some reason.
And one last question. The woodworking magazines produced by Taunton Press mm-hmm. have a real market for the back issues going back to issue number one. Is Wooden Boat also the kind of publication where people are very interested in the back issues because of the information contained in them?
Oh, very definitely. And it's interesting. I think Wooden Boat started 2 months before Fine Woodworking. So there are a lot of similarities there. And what works in one market tends to work in the other one as well. Not that our market's nearly as large as Fine Woodworking's is.
Have you ever considered creating the full back volumes, either published as a book? Do you do that? Are they available?
We've done it as a DVD, and we're in the process of updating them all again. So, yeah, we're definitely doing that. There used to be a copyright issue, but we got rid of that problem.
How did you resolve that problem?
We just paid one author far too much money to concur.
To include that?
Yeah.
Because some of the authors had retained the copyright on their articles?
No, but at the time that happened, the Supreme Court hadn't ruled in favor of National Geographic was the test case.
I see. Well, Carl, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
It's been a pleasure. I'd love to know when it airs.
Sure thing. It will be continuously available on the web when it's ready.
Okay.
But our students here in the communications program produce the shows.
Oh, great.
So it takes a few days, but not too long. And I'll definitely send you the link when it's ready.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it.
To subscribe to Wooden Boat or to learn more about the Wooden Boat Enterprise, go online to woodenboat.com. Thank you for listening to this installment of Periodical Radio. I'm your host, Steve Black.